This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealth.com. Today, we're speaking with, once again, board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. S. Larry Schlesinger, MD, FACS, about his tummy tuck technique and what patients should look for when choosing a surgeon to perform their tummy tuck. Dr. Schlesinger, great to have you back with us here.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, and good to have you out with us, coming to us this morning from Hawaii. Really appreciate your time. So, taking a look at the tummy tuck surgery, what makes tummy tuck surgery such a consistently popular choice?
Well, first of all, in plastic surgery, the majority of the patients are women. And then, of course, an incredible number of them are post-pregnancy. And some of them are post-weight loss as well. But post-pregnancy make the largest part of my practice. And women, after they have their kids, after they've gotten married and had their kids, they find that they still have to stay up with everybody else, and yet very often their bodies don't represent their feelings about themselves or their attitude towards work or anything. And there's an incredible amount of wasted energy, emotional energy, not feeling good about the way you look. So tummy tucks have become very, very popular after you've had your kids.
Definitely makes sense. So why is it so important to include liposuction with?
Well, I certainly have done tummy tucks before the age of liposuction and or before it became that popular. And it's tummy tucks can be a very good way of resecting skin and tightening muscle and spiffing up the way a belly button looks. But it doesn't quite answer everything that's wanted. Really, when you go through the annoyance of having a tummy tuck and the surgery and the recovery, you want to look great. And not doing the liposuction leaves you with almost. You almost got what you were looking for. Pregnancy puts on fat in areas you never anticipated. So without taking that fat away, you're left with tighter skin, but still with bulges, still with areas that don't represent the way you'd like to feel or the way you feel. So liposuction has become an integral part of everyone's or almost everyone's tummy tuck since the early to mid-90s.
And taking that even further, Dr. Schlesinger, how does incision placement impact the final results of a tummy tuck?
Well, I think most plastic surgeons were trained in classical plastic surgery programs around the country and possibly even overseas. But in the training, we're taught that the pubic hair is a dividing line between the abdomen and the pelvic area. And so the incision should be put at the top of the pubic hair. Of course, no matter where the incision is in the pubic hair, since it cuts out some of it, it becomes the top of the bottom of the incision or the incision point. Problem with that is, number one, it's just a fact in today's world, women are not really interested in pubic hair anymore, at least the majority of my patients aren't. And so putting your incision at the top of the pubic hair becomes a kind of a nebulous concept. That's the first thing. Also, I was taught in my residency you can hide some of your scar in the pubic hair. Well, that doesn't cut it anymore. Secondly, there was a trend 10, 15 years ago, to bring the incision up laterally because the word was women like high lateral cut bathing suits. I don't think that's true anymore. So because women wear bikinis, almost everywhere, and I mean, when on the beach or even here in Hawaii, almost everywhere. And since they don't want a scar showing, a scar above a bikini line is really a sign of a poor plastic surgery procedure anymore. Therefore, you've got to make the incisions low, and as low as you can get them. I've invented some things in plastic surgery, but this I purely stole from the guys on the East Coast. I read articles and listened to lectures where guys were saying you make the incision so low that it's two finger breaths above the vagina. And I thought, ooh, that's really low. And I talked to my patients and they said, what a great idea. And when you make the scar really low and you do a tight tummy tuck, you're actually pulling the vulva upward. And that's an important part of a tummy tuck. Many post-pregnancy females have what's called stress incontinence. You laugh, you pee, you cough, you pee, or even jumping up and down like playing volleyball or something. And it's very embarrassing, and it's it requires a urologic surgery that doesn't always work. And a tummy tuck will pull the urethra back up to its normal position, giving the kink back into the urethra. Men have two sphincters in their urethra, so men, as they get older, rarely dribble. But women only have one, and after multiple pregnancies, as women get older, they lose the kink in the urethra, which leads to stress incontinence, also known as urinary incontinence. And not a very pleasant thing. And when the incision is low, you're really tugging on the entire urethra to pull it back up where it belongs anatomically and physiologically. So there's one benefit of making your incision low, because you get a real purchase on the entire vulva. Of course, the tummy tuck has other benefits, such as when you repair the rectus muscles, the separation of the abdominal muscles, it leads to muscles that are now functioning again with their counterpart, which are back muscles. So low back pain pretty much always goes away. There was a real classical paper written in Irvine, Texas, back in the day, that said there were 24 women that had tummy tucks. 23 out of the 24 got rid of low back pain, and the 24th one improved it. Well, she didn't get totally rid of it. So tummy tucks have functional mechanisms. A second, getting back to the position of the incision, I always make my incision at the junction of the thigh and the abdomen. And this particular location pulls up some of the upper thigh when you have looseness there. Some of it pulls up the inner thigh, at least mildly. So there's some definite benefit there. And you hide it where a small bikini would cover it. So I don't worry, nor do my patients, about the length of the scar. We worry about how low it is and how thin it is. So the width of the scar becomes very important. And to keep the scar thin, I close the incision in five layers. Dr. Ted Lockwood of Kansas City showed us that if we put some of our stitches deep in what's known as the SFS, that's Sierra, Foxtrot, Sierra, if you put your incisions in the SFS, you can take tension off a suture line, and you should build, you know, tight, really big thread at the bottom, and we use an upside down staple right underneath the skin, and then a very, very well sutured area in the dermis. So by the time you get to the skin and repairing a tummy tuck incision, you should have very little tension, and tension is what causes scarring. So tummy tucks, if done correctly, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, The incision should be very low, starting about 2 finger breaths above the vagina. It should go into the crease between the abdomen and the thigh, and it should be thin, and the way you keep it thin is by doing multiple layer closure and handling the tissue delicately. And finally, the incision, in my opinion, again, shouldn't be short. It should be as long as is necessary to do the job. And, the concept of a short incision makes sense unless you've done it. And then it makes no sense to me whatsoever. In the 90s, there was this concept of make an incision shorter. When you make an incision shorter, you've got a long line, which is all that loose skin above the pubic area, and a short line, which is the tight skin closer to the vagina. There's only one way you can make the long line match the short line, and that's to pleat it. Any woman that's ever sewn a blouse or a dress knows that pleats are how you can cheat a long line into a short line. The problem with pleats is that the scar itself is thicker, and of course we're back to the same old thing. We don't like thick scars. We don't like visible scars if we can get rid of them. Next, when you pleat, say you've done your tummy tuck well and now you're closing the incision and you pleat it in, you can take a really nice looking belly button and turn it into a coin slot because you've moved stuff from lateral to medial, from outside to inside, and that works on the belly button, and you can end up with a very thin, long belly button, which doesn't look normal. So I'm really not a big fan of short scars. I'm really a big fan of thin, low scars that are covered well by panties or a bikini.
And certainly appreciate those full details. Today we are with Dr. S. Larry Schlesinger, a board-certified plastic surgeon with more than 30 years of plastic surgery experience here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Dr. Schlesinger, what type of scarring can patients expect with this procedure?
Well, there's a lot of tension going on when you do a good tummy tuck. And the tension can cause scarring. So I put my belly buttons in the midline. Now that's not a normal situation. Belly buttons tend to be not a midline structure. However, people who own belly buttons, which is almost all of us, think it is a midline structure, and because it looks like a midline structure, We want it to be in the middle, so I kind of drag the belly button over towards the middle, and when I do that, there's some extra tension on it. You want the scar to be as thin as possible around the belly button, and so I use subcuticular sutures, and I also use half-buried mattress sutures. The scar itself along the abdominal line is kept thin by walking bent over and sitting with no tension on the lower abdomen for 11 days. It's worked out. 11 days has kind of worked out for me. And so scars can be kept thin by keeping tension off of them and suturing them correctly.
Lastly, Dr. Schlesinger, what should patients be looking for or consider when they review tummy tuck before and after pictures?
Oh, thanks for that great question. When you look at a picture online or at a doctor's office, hopefully he's putting out his very best pictures. It's not the smart plastic surgeon who puts out poor pictures, pictures that show not good results. So you're expecting to see the quality work from every physician or every plastic surgeon. And so when you don't see good work consistently from a plastic surgeon, that means a couple things. It either means he or she is a new plastic surgeon and they don't have a lot of great results yet. And that's definitely somebody you want to, stay in touch with and wait till they get that they to a position where they get a lot of good results that they can then put up to represent them. Secondly, if you don't get good pictures, that means sometimes that the doctor doesn't know what good pictures are. And therefore, I'd probably say avoid those plastic surgeons, because if you don't have the eye, you don't know what good results are, you'll think you did a great job when the patient thinks you didn't. And that's certainly not somebody that I would recommend going to. The next thing is, now that you've finally limited yourself to those plastic surgeons that look like they've got great results, or at least good results, you want a good-looking belly button. Now, it's not always every time possible to get a great-looking belly button, because there are so many tensions on the belly button, and sometimes it's genetics. It's just the patient puts thicker scar out. Secondly, you want your incision low. You want your incision as much as possible in the crease between the abdomen and the thigh. You want that incision thin. And again, it's not possible to always get thin incisions, but you certainly have to strive for it. Then you're looking, I look for a stomach that is so tight that when the patient sits on the side of a pool and dangles her feet in the pool, that there's a straight shot from the bottom of the ribs down to the pelvic bone with not a single ripple. You know, the good looking belly button and no rippling whatsoever, because that's really what you're paying for. That's what you're hoping for. And that, in my opinion, is what you should get. So the scar should look like there's minimal scarring and there's no rippling. And that can be accomplished by doing the tummy tuck and then doing liposuction afterwards to get that great result. Don't forget, we're a cylinder. We're not a three-dimensional rectangle. And because we're a cylinder, when you tighten the front, you bulge on the side, so that liposuction has to be after the tummy tuck. And when you do the liposuction after the tummy tuck, usually about 90 days, you've changed the blood flow to the skin. You get less chance of injury from liposuction, and you get really amazing results. So when I look at the pictures, I look for no fat, because if you're showing fat, you haven't done the second surgery correctly. I'm looking for flat skin. I'm looking for a reasonable to very good-looking belly button and low, thin scars that are almost invisible and hidden way down where they won't be found easily.
Well, Dr. Schlesinger, certainly appreciate your time and your full and thorough coverage on your tummy tuck technique, and certainly appreciate your time here today. Where can listeners get further information on your practice there in Hawaii, and how could listeners also be in touch accordingly?
We have a couple websites. We have breastimplantcenterofhawaii.com, which is our main website. We have the Mommy Makeover Institute of Hawaii.com, and that's really what we're all about. And we have one for men, Gynecomastia Hawaii. And if you're in Hawaii or you want to call us long distance, it's 808-597-8835. And we're always available. We've got great people answering the phones. We've become kind of America-wide. Stu, who answers our phones for us, is in North Carolina, as is the great SEO company that I work with, Cake, in North Carolina. But we have people that I work with in Seattle. And of course, we're located in Honolulu. And God, I love this place. So if you want to talk to us or find out why we do things, or just want to get your questions answered about plastic surgery, feel free to write or call us.
And who wouldn't want to be in Hawaii? Again, Dr. Schlesinger, thanks so much for joining us here today. All the best, and look forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio.
Yes, you're very welcome, and thank you, and thank everybody for listening. Take care.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Dr. S. Larry Schlesinger, once again, a board-certified plastic surgeon with more than 30 years of plastic surgery experience. And for further details, simply visit breastimplantcenterofhawaii.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.